Welcome to the Red Half of Sheffield. This is a Sheffield United podcast by two American Blades fans. My name is Noah Snyder, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Chad Jarvis. And it's Tuesday evening, Chad. We've had a couple of days to marinate on that draw against Bournemouth. How are you feeling a couple of days on?
We don't play for 2 weeks. Say we don't play for 2 weeks. Say we don't play. Thank God we don't play for 2 weeks. I mean, I don't know. It is what it is. Throw a 2-goal lead away. I lost $50 betting on United.
To lose?
No, I actually when they went 2-0 up, that's when I hammered. Oh, for sure we're gonna win. I said I can see us throwing 1 goal away. Not both of them. And oddly enough, my buddy lost $150 because he thought Bournemouth were going to score once we scored. He's like, I can feel Bournemouth. They have the momentum. Now, mind you, we're sitting here drinking at the bar watching the game. And I apologize for not doing the watch along this weekend. But we went there. It was shitty out here in Charlotte. Put the game on. United go in front. And he's like, I'm doing it. I said, what? He said, I'm throwing $150 on Bournemouth to get to score next. I was like, all right, man, you're riding this solo. And I kept thinking, I was like, you know, Bournemouth, they're just keep cranking the pressure.
Yeah.
He might get lucky, and then United go 2-0 up. I'm like, boy, yeah, it wasn't a good day. It wasn't a good haul for us over here on this side of the coast. But, yeah, I mean, it was fun, albeit we sucked and we threw the 2-goal – you know, lead away, but didn't it feel, I think I texted you during the game and said, what is this feeling I'm feeling? And I think you said hope. I don't know if I've had hope in any long amount of time with United this year, but it's, I guess before you get into your monologue, did it feel good, even despite us only getting a point, that we were at, like, we actually felt like we're in a game, albeit we kind of weren't?
Our away form hasn't been too bad recently. We just can't do anything at home. So do I feel hope after that? No. I mean, obviously, we're still going down. Like, I mean, here's what I can say. I thought our blaster looked good with the news now that, like, it appears on its face that McBurnie isn't going to be re-signing a new contract, or signing a new contract, I should say. I don't know how much hope I have for next season, but, you know, some positives to take away. Our blaster, I thought, had a good performance. I thought Gerbich had his best performance in a United shirt. He made me a lot more confident in him. But at the same time, you know, he has to do better on that first goal that was scored by Bournemouth. He has to do better. Yeah, I mean, the defending was shocking also, but at the same time, you know, he really does need to do better. But yeah, I mean, look, he pulled some amazing saves out of his ass. And hopefully if he can continue that sort of a performance, you know, we might have a right keeper on our hands.
Yeah. Jack played pretty well too. Jack Longthrow, Mr. Throw. He played good. I mean, I feel like Jack, aka Mr. Longthrow, has been, like, dragging these bums we have at the back the entire season, and he can only do so much. Yeah. I know our defense is absolute awful, but damn. I don't know. Trusty, I guess, maybe will be better next year, and I hope to God Anel isn't here anymore because he can go piss off. I've lost all interest in him now. I don't think he's worth anything to me. I'd let him go on a free or 50 cents, whatever. I'd take whatever they throw it at you. I don't want him in the team anymore.
Yeah, I'm kind of starting to, you know, agree with you. I mean, he had such a promising season last season. I thought he was going to do so well at this level, and he just hasn't looked up to snuff. I think he needs, you know, if we can't get rid of him, maybe he needs a loan. Or maybe he'll do all right in the championship next season if we do hang on to him. But yeah, I mean, I think he just hasn't been able to play his game. You know, we've been defending so much throughout this season. We never have the majority of possessions. So, you know, he doesn't get a chance to get forward and do the things that, you know, made him one of the best center backs in the championship last season, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's true, but the more I see him play, it's like, where the hell did the player? I mean, because it's not like a slow decline. This is like a damn falling off a cliff drop off.
Yeah.
I mean, surely to God, he can't be that bad.
I really do think it's just this level, you know. I just think this is a different gravy for him. He's still pretty young, Anel, and you know, I think maybe he just needs a little bit more learning experience. I don't know if he gets that with us in the championship next season, or if we sell, you know, if we see the opportunity to sell to a, you know, a club in the Prem, a bigger club in the Prem, or, you know, if he wants to go back abroad. This time maybe to a decent, you know, Bundesliga club or a La Liga club, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see.
It certainly is interesting how it stacks up. But you could almost see it separating like oil and water
to be honest,
what we've got going on for the rest of the season, I feel like.
I mean, you know, it's been very telling that, you know, has Archer been injured? He hasn't even made the bench.
They haven't said anything.
So I don't know if he's injured or if, you know, he's just fallen out of favor with Wilder. But I think Wilder's starting to kind of collect the players that he's going to be playing on for 46 games next season, and finding out kind of, you know, with all of the players that are going out in the summer, because I don't think a lot of players are going to be re-signing with us. I think maybe Georgie Baldock, maybe, mm-hmm. You know, give us one or two more years with Baldock. Maybe Norwood would take a little bit of a discounted rate considering what he's done for the club. I don't know. Maybe I don't even know if there's loyalty there, but, you know, McBurney, not going to re-sign. Absolutely not going to re-sign at this point per the reporting. So, you know, I mean, Wilder needs to figure out what he's got in front of him and what he's going to need to replace in the offseason. And as far as I can tell, there's going to be a lot that needs replacing. I mean, most of our midfield is going to probably need replacing. We're going to need a new striker. And we're probably going to need, you know, if Egan doesn't come back, which, who knows? Basham's probably never going to come back. You know, after that horse show injury, we probably are going to need to shore up the defense as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to need good young players, and maybe those are in the under-21s at this point. I don't know. Maybe Sam Curtis can make the step up, but, you know, that's a position that we've got covered. But I don't really I don't think Bogle is going to resign. I think Bogle will go somewhere else on a free. I mean, we're going to lose, you know, a good 50 to 60% of our players and most of our squad, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And, you know, I'm starting to become okay with that. You know, the more and more that goes on, I understand, you know, confidence gets knocked and all that bullshit, but I've been saying it for about a couple of months now. We need to flip the script. But the whole thing is I wish, and it's not going to happen. I wish to God Chris Wilder would go with him as well. I 100% do not want him being a manager of this club next year. 1,000%. He can go with the players that aren't going to re-sign a contract, because the whole thing is if you give him free reign to do whatever he wants next year, bring in his players. Okay, say we finish 18th next year. The hell do you extend him again with the lot of players you got that he probably signed on 3 or 4 years?
If we're on the trajectory to finish 18th in the championship, I think he'll have probably been fired a long time, because the expectation next season is that we're going to finish top 10 at least, and if not in the playoff spots, you know.
Okay, let's say 11th. Let's say we finish 11th, okay? Chances are you signed, let's say, 10 or 12 players to 3-year contracts. Just saying, just throwing spouting numbers out here. Would you rather go into that situation finishing about dead smack even in that division, or would you like to have a breath of fresh air while you have 12 players going out the door, bring somebody in that, you know, if there's a bare bones of a team left, then you could, you know, obviously the Prince ain't going to give no money. We already know that. So you go into somebody that's got their best scrounging abilities or has, you know, an ID in that league aside from Wild. I'm just trying to say the whole club itself needs a turnover.
Well, I mean, undoubtedly. I mean, from top to bottom, you know, I mean, with the one exception for me, Chad, being Chris Wilder, I think you got to give him a shot in the championship. It's important to remember that Wilder didn't build this team, okay? So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say, look, he didn't, you know, a lot of these guys aren't his players. So when we go back to the championship, let him pick up a few signings. And granted, he's burned us before. I mean, Rian Brewster, there have been a number of signings that Wilder's made that did not pan out for us. You know, I mean, Ravel Morrison, who else? I mean, there were countless signings that you can say to a lesser degree, Max Lowe hasn't really panned out. You know, that was a Chris Wilder signing. Jaden Bogle's been all right, but you know, he's not one who's going to stay. But yeah, I think you give him, I'd say you give him 6 months to get us into a decent position where we're able to make a run for the playoffs. Or if we're doing really well, you know, maybe even automatics. I don't think that's going to happen, but at least make a run for it. And if it's not working out, you know, he gets the sack, and then we really do the clear out at that point, and you know, decide what direction we're going to go in. I mean, I see our window, you know, our window period. Where we have good championship teams / bad Premier League teams, it's kind of closing now because our core is gone. I mean, our core really from the Prem in the 2019-2020 season is gone for the most part.
Yep.
You know, I mean, between Stevens and, you know, I mean, obviously Lundstrom, Norwood's not been himself. McBurnie really hasn't been himself, but no O'Connell, no Egan, no Basham. I mean, that is the most stark thing, I think, you know, between this team and even the 2020-2021 team, is that back line, since we lost Jack O'Connell, has never really been the same.
No.
So, I mean, we need, that's, you know, that's the most important thing, I think, for us. I think Robinson is one of the three, but unless Egan comes back and he's able to find his form that he had both last year and then, you know, previously, and then we need somebody who's going to be able to play right center back, that can get the confidence back. I mean, I don't know if that's a Nell. Maybe it is in the championship, but if his value is high enough, then I think we say goodbye and, you know, sell him and reinvest that into maybe a couple of prospects. And because that's really what we're going to do, I think, is we're going to be taking punts on prospects and hoping that they pan out in the championship, because we're not going to be able to get marquee player names.
Yeah. And that sucks. But I mean, that's the hand we're dealt. We really could be looking at a troublesome few years here for United if something major doesn't happen, you know, because you don't want to, you know, I'm always the negative pessimist. I understand that, but you don't want to say if shit hits a fan and, you know, next year you look up and we couldn't score in a whorehouse, you know, and we end up finishing in the relegation zone, do the back-to-back relegations. Christ, you would be looking at a club that's on the brink of going into administration. Now that's, you know, that's the very extreme end of it. I don't think we're going to be in that situation, but you never know. You know, it could be like Christmas time while they're saying peace out. I don't want any more of this disaster. And everybody's like, well, your dumbass got us in this situation. because you decided to dump all these players in here. None of them worked. And then blah, blah, blah. You know, then the finger pointing begins and all that stuff. And then it just goes sour than the fan base. And, you know, kind of, you know, that's where I don't want us to go.
It's interesting looking at trends in football as well, like on formation. You know, it used to be, it seemed like a couple of years ago when our first season back in the championship, everybody was playing the 3-5-2, you know, everybody had kind of taken that model and, you know, yeah, it's a little bit more cynical in defense, but, you know, a goal two wins a game, you know. We're not seeing as much of that now in the championship. More teams are going 4-4-2 or 4-3-3, and you know, that there's not as much of the wingback involvement in the offense and or even the center back involvement in the offense. So it's just interesting how the kind of the dynamics and as far as football tactics have changed a little bit from my perspective. You know, I might be talking shit right now. I mean, I haven't actually like taken a look, but that's just kind of like the feeling, like looking at the scores and looking at the lineups and seeing how other teams have set up in the championship. So the other question is Wilder going to set up in his classic 3-5-2 formation? You know, I mean, how are we going to play next season?
I mean, you like to think that's how he's going to try and play. I mean, unless we get, you know,
he's been open to changing it this season, though. I mean, you know, he's played four at the back at times.
But I think a little bit more with the caliber of players that we have, and we have a championship side at best. You're more open to playing a three at the back because the quality is not there. And we can match up better with teams. I mean, how many times did we do it last year? I mean, there wasn't many games where we got absolutely turned over like we do this year.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to sit back there with a back four or back five or a back nine, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I think he's going to game one against Bristol City next year at the Lane. I think he's going to roll out a back three. I mean, I wouldn't see why he would be like, "Oh, championship! I've played in this league before." Yeah, you know, we're gonna change this up. We're gonna try a little bit of Slav ball, and you know, we're gonna pass you to death and all this bullshit. No, he's gonna roll out a 3-5-2, and we're gonna roll on it, and you could be like, "Oh shit! Well, this is the same team. Well, it looks good down here, but then if we get promoted, we're gonna get our heads kicked in."
Yeah, so. I mean, the real, you know, obviously the money factor is the factor, you know. I mean, we obviously have to get some owner in who is going to invest in the club and is going to want to take us to the point where we'll have some, you know, establishment in the Prem. I mean, that's the goal long term is, you know, even if we're finishing 16th, 15th in the Prem, I mean, that's goals right there.
Yeah. Oh, you know? Yeah. I mean, small goals, but I mean, it moves the needle a little bit. It moves the perception of our club from not a shitty team to, oh, okay, they have a little bit of relevance.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. Anything else you want to touch on before we get into our minute by minute review here, Chad?
No, sorry to be all down in dumps, but I mean, what can you expect after a team's a guy?
You know?
Yeah, what can you expect after a – how many points are we on? 14? Oh, my God, we got 14 points now?
Yeah. We were 19th for exactly 24 hours.
Great. Did you see the picture floating around on the internet? Burnley when Sheffield United get a draw, and it's like vintage Barcelona mid-2000s.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Pretty funny. Although they couldn't close it out against the Hammers.
So. No, they looked like us. Yeah, got out to a 2-goal lead and then threw it away.
Yep. Anyway, getting into it here, the first chance of the game came to Bournemouth in the third minute as a long ball for Solanke gets cut out, but it falls for Tavernier. He passes to Ryan Christie outside the box, who has a shot that's right at Garbage, who makes the save easily enough. And then immediately on the other end, Hamer wins the ball off a Bournemouth player, passes into space for Ben Brereton-Diaz. He gets on it. He has a shot that is also right at the keeper, Neto, who makes the save. The next half opportunity comes in the 11th minute as a long throw from Jackie Longthrow goes into the box. Heads go up. It's headed for Bogle, and he heads the ball from about the edge of the 18-yard box. Neto claims, easy as you like. And then off of a free kick on the right-hand side for Bournemouth, Tavernier passes for Solanke, and Davies slides in, getting the ball initially, but also the man. Determined to be a penalty for the Cherries. I mean, what did you think about that, Chad? You know, people say, well, he got the ball before he got the man. Is that a penalty?
I say no. And that's not with my red or white glasses on. I just think, no. You got the ball. Okay, I can see where everybody's like, this guy's a moron. He doesn't need to say what he's saying. I could do better. But the whole thing is I understand he gets the ball. But as soon as he gets the ball, you can't just automatically grab a hold of that railing and stop you. Your momentum's going to keep carrying you through the man. I understand that. But I think if you see the same exact challenge in the division below next year, it's way done. Because they give him the ball. He got the ball. And then in this game, it's all that matters. He didn't go in two studs. He didn't hit him with the studs in his leg and scrape down his leg and cut him wide open. No, he got the ball and just his momentum carried him through the man. I'm sorry. You live to fight another day. I don't believe it is.
Yeah. I mean, as I've seen it more and more, initially I was like, yeah, that's a Stonewall pen. But as I've seen it more and more, I'm kind of coming around to thinking, you know what? He got the ball. And I mean, it's really like, his momentum, like you said, his momentum carried him into Solanke.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's probably not a pen, as you said, in the championship. But, you know, in this league, everything is going to get reviewed. It was reviewed, determined. And it's the kind of 50-50 call in the Prem where they're not going to have enough to overturn it. So whatever the decision is by the ref, the VAR is going to agree with the decision by the ref.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Anyway, Solanke steps up, slips right on his fucking ass, and puts it into the third row of fans as the away end just explodes into laughter. But yeah, very fortunate for the Blades there. 18th minute off of a corner, Cook passes for Semenyo, who has a shot that goes just over the bar. 21st minute, Christie puts in a decent cross that Solanke gets on, but Garbage is there to make a decent save. And I mean, you know, I'm going to be saying that time and time again during this review. Garbage had a lot of good saves. I think he had like, what, 8 saves in this game? Something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty outrageous save percentage. I mean, he did well. I mean, Garbage wasn't garbage. He was is garbage, not garbage. But I mean, as much as Bournemouth had of the ball, they didn't really do anything with it. I almost felt it was Wolves. I almost felt like it was Wolves again. Wolves had all the ball and did jack squat with it.
Yeah, I think actually that Bournemouth probably did a little bit more than Wolves. I thought that they actually looked better than Wolves did in the game against us. I mean, they had a lot of decent opportunities, which we'll get to in a couple minutes here. But, yeah, they just weren't able to find the back of the net in the first half, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'll agree with you that they look more comfortable on the ball. But it's just like, you got to look at it and be like, this is a bottom-of-the-basement team. We should be killing these guys.
Well, we're bottom of the basement too, so
yeah. That's true.
I mean, it kind of works its way out that way, you know. I mean, probably the best chance of the Cherries in the first half came in the 25th minute as Kluivert drives into the box, fires a shot that's blocked, but it falls to Semenya, who takes a hard shot from outside the box that Gerbic dives and parries away. I mean, like we said, this was Gerbic's like best all around goalkeeping game.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. And then 27th minute on the break on the left, Brereton Diaz passes for McBurnie. He takes a couple dribbles. He falls, but as he's falling, slips a pass for Hamer just outside of the D. Hamer puts in a really nice through ball for Bogle, who takes a shot that is saved by Neto, and Hamer is there to follow it up, fires in a hard shot. Neto gets a hand to it, but it still goes into the back of the net. 1-0 to the Blades at that point. Yeah, I mean, good job by Hamer to follow up that shot, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was great by him. I was just hoping he didn't slam the thing in a row Z.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He did good. He did well. And it was a weird build up to that play, but at least he's able to you know, go and slot it home. And I think for what, maybe the second or third time this season, the Blades lead first.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've not had many of those moments. And I think that was when you shot me that text, what is this feeling, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Getting back into it here, 31st minute, Tavernier passes for Kerkez, who passes back for Tavernier, who one times it for an on-running Christie, who gets inside the box and has a shot that just misses to the left of goal, striking the netting. And, you know, a lot of the Bournemouth fans thought that that was in, but it goes out for a goal kick. 32nd minute, United get the ball down the left-hand side, and Hamer crosses for McBurnie, who gets ahead to it, but it's a long looping header that's easily into Neto's hands. Has to go down as a chance. I mean, McBurnie couldn't really get on any pace on it, but at the same time, you know, you got to head that down. I mean, it's one thing for me. He knows that, you know. Yeah. I just think he wasn't able to get a good head to it. 38th minute, Christie receives a pass outside the box on the left-hand side, puts in a good cross for Semenya, who heads it right on frame, and Gerbic again there to make a diving save. Yeah, where has this guy been? This is the garbage that I wanted.
Yeah, it's hard to explain. I don't know where the hell it came from. Maybe he just woke up on the right side of the bed and just like, you know what, screw it. You know, I'm going to play. I'm going to play good today.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Yeah. I it's funny because I think maybe he just needed to get up to form. Maybe he he hadn't been playing regularly. So maybe just getting up to form put him in the position where he's now able to make a save, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
40th minute. Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know. It's just, I think it's going to be more of those things to come, you know, especially if we're in it a little bit, is he going to be able to you know, save us or win us 3 points? Yeah, we're probably not going to win another game the rest of the season. But if we have a chance, is there an opportunity somewhere down the line where he fucks it up and we lose all 3 points?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that could happen at some point. I think that if he continues to play at least at that level, I think we might sneak a win at some point, you know, because we're going to get lucky again. I mean, we got a little lucky in this game, but I think we're going to get lucky at least one more time. We've talked, Chad, already. I mean, we said that 20-point, you know, that 20-point mark is where we want to finish. If we can just get to 20 points, we'll be happy, right?
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, that's two more wins. So I we've got 10 games left. 2 out of 10 shouldn't be that difficult. I mean, that's me. I mean, considering who we still have to play, we still have to play Burnley, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that we can probably get at least one win. I know I'm going to be listening, you know, somebody's going to post this and after we've lost the next 10, but you know, I'm still trying to remain optimistic. Anyway, 40th minute, Christie with a 50-yard pass down pitch for Kluivert, who takes a touch, but out comes Gerbich all the way outside the box. He makes himself big, and you know, Kluivert just blasts it onto you know, off of Gerbich's chest there. 43rd minute, Kerkez puts in a cross that's deflected off of a Blades defender. Not sure who that was, but it falls for Solanke, who touches it for Christie at the 18-yard line, and he blasts it over the net. And then we go into first half stoppage. Davies headed a shot that was saved by Neto. 45 plus 4 off a corner following a block shot taken by Hamer. Hamer puts the ball into the box, and McBurnie has a free header, another free header, and he heads it right into the ground right in front of Neto, who claims. And I mean, McBurnie had probably, you know, 3 or 4 chances to try to get on the score sheet in this one and just was not able to, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is old McBurnie. Old McBurnie had a farm, you know, and he can't do anything right. He cannot do anything right. It just, it's so frustrating to me because he was on such good form. Yes, I understand he's got the injury hiccups this year. Just can't get it going, man. And we're back to square one.
Yeah. And, you know, I really do think that's the reason that he's not going to stay. I mean, he's not been able to find his form here. I think he probably is going to want to sign for Rangers, and I think Rangers will probably accept him, you know, and then I'll have to go to hating McBurnie.
Yeah.
As somebody who very, very casually watches Celtic, very, very casually. So right at the death of the first half, Christie passes for Tavernier, who slips one for Kerkez, who has a hard shot, but it's right at Gerbich, who makes a save. And like I said, amazing how many shots Bournemouth had in that first half and how many of them were on frame, you know, a good six of them, seven of them maybe were on frame in that one, in that first half.
I mean, in you know, obviously this is, I'm looking at this after the game. Total, the expected goals, 3.3 for Bournemouth, 1.2 for us.
Yeah, that's probably, it's the pen and their two goals, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they had 12 shots on target. 12.
Wow. So 10 of those were saved, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's insane.
Unbelievable. Getting into the second half here, early doors, Hamer has a shot from outside the box that is blocked. 50th minute, Tavernier passes for Christie, who has a shot that sails over the bar. 52nd minute, Osborne puts in a cross that Trusty gets ahead to, but it's high and wide to the right. 55th minute, Balduck on the right passes for Arblaster in the midfield, who puts in a great ball about 40 yards down pitch looking for Brereton Diaz to run onto it, but Neto comes out a long way and dives in, clearing the ball. But, you know, that's the kind of vision that we need in that midfield. And I think that's going to serve us really, really well next season. Ollie Arblaster. I mean, I thought it was a great full debut performance from him.
Yeah, I did too. By 60th minute, I was kind of starting to get in my cups a little bit. So it kind of all became a little bit frizzy after that, but I thought he played well. Having no experience at this level, you know, it didn't look like he was way off
of it. Yeah, I agree. 58th minute, Hamer passes for McBurney just outside the box, who tries to curl one into the top right-hand corner, but it goes to the right of goal. I have no problem with McBurney, you know, trying that there, but how many of those has he scored in his career? I think it's a goose egg. I don't think he's, I don't think he's ever scored one like that before.
Yeah.
61st minute, Unal replaces Kluivert, and Sinisterra replaces Tavernier, who I thought was actually decent for them. I thought he was one of their players of that first half, you know?
Yeah. Tavernier is a good player. Certainly watched him when he played with Bournemouth in the championship. A strong player.
Yep. 64th minute, McBurney on the right-hand side wins a ball with his head that falls for Arblaster, who drives about like 26 yards into the box before having a shot that Neto just gets a hand to. And, you know, I know we haven't really said Arblaster's name that much to this point in the podcast, but like I just said a few moments ago, really, really good from him. So that ball that was tipped out by Neto goes for a corner, and off of the corner that is put in by Hamer, Neto pushes it off the back of Solanke, and Robinson is there to put the ball over the line. It initially looked like perhaps it was cleared, but there was no mix-up with the goal line technology this time, and a good goal for JLT, who has really done it all for United this season. I mean, he's contributed a goal. He's been our best defender far and away. And his song is well deserved.
Yeah, Mr. Throw's he got a goal because he's been deserving one. You know, all his work, and if we don't cancel the player of the season, is he going to win it? Or McAtee will probably win it. But I'm gonna vote for Mr. Throw.
Yeah. I mean, I think so too. I think JLT probably deserves it. He might win player of the season too.
That's true. That's very true.
So almost literally off of the kickoff following the goal, the ball goes into United's half, and Ouattara puts in a shot that Robinson tries to clear. It goes off Solanke, and then he just kind of like toe pokes it into the back of the net. And then VAR, which I've always rated, as everybody knows, reviews it, and it's determined that it went off Solanke's hand. Goal overturned, but that was indeed a warning shot of what was to come. 69th minute. Nice. Anel comes in for Bogle, and McAtee replaces McBurney. And here's the thing. We tweeted out on Saturday that, you know, that was like really the turning point in the match was once McBurney came off. And, you know, we said that Wilder got it wrong. And I just wanted to acknowledge, which so many of you in the comments stated, which was he was knackered. You know, he was really tired at that point. So it's like, what are you going to do? And, you know, besides Asula on the bench, you don't have an out and out striker out there. And I mean, Asula would eventually come into the game. But for my money, that was when the game changed. You know, yeah, I mean, it was like a switch was flipped. We no longer had an outlet. We no longer had anybody to hold up the ball. And, you know, once we cleared it out, and it was just a fucking onslaught from that point, you know,
it was you're spot on with it. It was like how. Us being 2-0 up at that point, you're like, okay, we make these changes, and then it's just like, when are they going to get them now?
Yeah. Yep. 100%. 72nd minute, Cook has a shot from outside the box that goes high, and 72nd minute, same 72nd, Gerbich is booked for time wasting. 74th, off of a corner, Christie puts it in the box. And it's easy as you like for Ouattara as he just heads it into the back of the net. You can talk about how it was pretty poor goaltending, but it was also poor man marking from the defense there. I'm not sure who was covering Ouattara, but, you know, he was moving and nobody caught him, you know, and he just rises and puts the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah. Disappointing. And you just felt like, okay, Uncle Mo's pointing towards Bournemouth now. when's it going to help them get their second one?
Yep. Yep. And then you really felt like we were under the cosh at that point. I mean, it really, you could just sense that it was coming. 78th minute off of another corner from Billing. Zabarnyi, I'm not going to even bother trying to pronounce that. He got a touch to it. Looked as if it was going to go in, but Gerbich was right there. 80th minute, Osula replaces Ben Brereton Diaz, and Arblaster was subbed off for Norwood. And, you know, that's further indicative of why we were so poor in the last 10 to 15 minutes of this game, because, I mean, Norwood is just not up to snuff, and we had nothing in the midfield, and Norwood has not been the greatest defender this season. So, yeah, that's really kind of what it came down to. 82nd minute, Ouattara had a headed shot from inside the 6-yard box, but it goes over the bar. Right after that, Ouattara drove down the left-hand side on the edge of the area, puts in a cross for Ünal, who got a flick to it, but Gerbich is right there to make the save, and he holds on. But United would not hold on, as just into stoppage time, Alex Scott puts in a corner that Ünal heads across the goal. It's cleared momentarily, but put back into the box. Ouattara heads it for Ünal, who just tucks it into the bottom left-hand corner. 2-2, which is how it would finish. And then, I mean, you know, there were still like 5 minutes of stoppage time after that point. And I mean, they looked like they were going to get a winner. You know, that was like my feeling after that goal went in. But we were lucky we held it to 2-2. And, you know, it's funny, like before the game, you're just like, snatch your arm off for a point in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you know, I mean, how many times this season, I feel like it's been like 8 or 9 games that we've just kind of snatched a loss or a draw from the jaws of either a draw or a victory.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, that's all I can do. I can just sigh, because it's just like, we were so close, yet it felt like we're still 100 miles away from getting all 3 points.
Yeah.
I feel like we could have been up 3-0 and we probably still would have drawn that game. But it is what it is. I'll take a point, albeit it's only a point and it doesn't really make a shit. Puts us on 14 points. But, you know, it for me, a game like that, even though we dropped all 3 points and come away with a draw. We were in it, though. We were in it. And I can feel like, you know, we weren't in it for 90% of the games we played this season.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I mean, I was invested. You know, I was kind of hanging on every move that United made. And that's all we can ask for at this point. We just want the games to be competitive at a bare minimum. I just want, that's what all I want out of the next 10 games. Just be competitive. You know, we're going to lose probably 7 or 8 of them. Okay. But if we can keep it to within one goal in 90% of these games, I'll be happy. You know, yeah. I mean, we're outclassed. We're going down. Like we already know that our fate is sealed at this point, but I just want to see us be a little bit competitive and see what we have out there. You know, if that means starting some of the kids, which, you know, obviously Wilder's done in this one. I don't know why Brooks has fallen so out of favor. Maybe it's just something that Wilder's seen in training, or maybe, you know, Arblaster's kind of moved up the pecking order. But, you know, I mean, why not give him a shot? Maybe have Ryan One on the bench at some point, you know. Yeah. He seems to be one for the future. So we'll see what happens moving forward here. But before we sign off here, Chad, do you have a man of the match in this one?
My man of the match would go to Mr. Throw. Say Mr. Throw for me. Mr. Daily Throw.
That's a big 10-4 for me as well. JLT, I mean, I thought he was easily man of the match. I mean, you could say Gerbich had a good game as well, you know, with all the saves that he made. And look, if he saves that the first goal, then, you know, he's definitely my man of the match, you know, as we go on to win this game.
Yep.
But, you know, considering that was a little bit of a mistake from him, I don't think I can honestly give him my man of the match. So yeah, Mr. Throw, JLT, Robertson, as I said earlier, man of the match. Anything you want to touch on, Chad? We're heading into a little bit of a break. We've got the FA Cup quarterfinals next week.
Yes, this coming weekend, and then it's an international break.
Yep. So we won't get any Blades football until the end of the month, right?
Yeah, 30th, I believe, is when we play Fulham. Fulham.
Yep. And I know that now because that's when I'm going to be attending my first Galaxy game of the season. Mm. So I'm looking forward to that.
Daily double.
Yeah, exactly. I love this part of the season because I get to watch the Galaxy in the United in the mornings and the Galaxy in the afternoon/evenings. All the football, baby. All the football. Well, I think that's just going to do it for this episode of the Red Half of Sheffield. If you haven't done so, please give us a follow on social media at Red Sheffield on Twitter X, at Red Sheffield on Facebook, at Red Half of Sheffield on Instagram. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. No preview for Chad this week, but we might have something interesting coming up. It depends on if a couple of people respond to us. So do be on the lookout for potentially a video coming up in the next week or so. But we'll keep you updated with that on Twitter. Chad, your social media.
C Jarvis underscore 13 on it all. Everything.
And you can follow me, Noah Snyder, at SunPuck on Instagram and at Nessman930 on Twitter X. So we've got a break. Until we come back from the break, up the Blades, Chad.
Up the Blades.
Come on, you red and white wizards.